What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. Tom, when we started on Monday and said, well, you know, we'll have our Game 3 recap on Thursday, I don't think we expected the golf world to kind of shatter. So
yeah,
here we are. By the way, I just want to put out this PSA. Hope you and everybody is safe up there in the New York area with the smoke from the wildfires.
Oh, bro, it's been nuts. You think it's going to rain, but it ain't rain. It's sunny behind that smog. Yeah, I thought we were going to have a nice little 20-minute pod, and I was going to watch Kenny Powers all night and go to bed. But that's not what the golf world had in store for us. The Canadian Open has been interrupted 2 years in a row. And I was going to say, I would have felt bad until they started sending some disgusting smoke down my way. And now I don't feel bad that it's overshadowed.
So to you, you have no empathy for the Canadians that are taking the brunt of these fires.
Of course I do. I hope everybody stays safe. And hopefully, unfortunately, I know the West Coast has a lot of experience with these wildfires. I hope they're sending up some reinforcements that way to get these things under control.
Shit, man, it looked apocalyptic up there. I mean, I was seeing on Twitter photos of the GW Bridge and like across New Jersey. You can't see the New York skyline. I mean, even areas down where you are.
We're 30 minutes outside of, you know, Manhattan, pretty much 45 minutes in traffic. I was in the city yesterday. It smelled like a campfire. It's crazy. You would have thought the fire was 10 minutes away, not, you know, thousands of miles.
Now, they said that if you were outside for 24 hours, it was the equivalent to smoking 6 cigarettes. Now, I've never had a lung dart of my own, so I couldn't equate to that. But no, I've never smoked a cigarette. You know that.
Oh, God. I mean, I had a cigarette about a week ago on the golf course.
Yeah,
I got in trouble for it.
Yeah, so just add five more to that, and that was your exposure to just hanging around.
Yeah, that is crazy. I did not spend – I wanted to golf yesterday because I got out of work in a reasonable time, but I texted my buddy, and I was like, I don't know about this smog. I mean, we just shook the masks, you know? And I don't mean to sound like a COVID guy or whatever, but we just fucking shook the masks, and now – it feels like we got to put them back on.
Yeah, well, at least there's visible tracing as to why you have it, as opposed to invisible and, you know, just hoping you don't contract the virus.
It's crazy to think that it's in India and China. It's like this all the time.
Yeah, they said the only worst place in the world yesterday than New York was like Mumbai.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
they live with that every day. Yeah,
exactly.
Fucking nuts. But this whole, I feel like it's very apropos for what's going on in the PGA. We will get to our Game 3 recap, but that is not where we need to lead today, man. You are the golf aficionado. This is your wheelhouse. So I just kind of want to shut up, get your thoughts on the whole thing, and let you go.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with, I've been thinking about, because I've tried to read and hear as much information as I possibly could, and I've been thinking about a way to go about this, and I'm just going to use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. So to start off, number one, I just want to preface it by saying there is multiple nations involved in this with governing bodies, and we don't know whether or not this is even going to go through. This has to get through the United States Department of Justice as well as whatever European Department of Justice wants to take this on with the DP World Tour. I'm sure the Saudi government is going to be just fine to pass this one through, so we don't even really have to worry about them. But who the hell knows if this blows up in their face, what happens? But there is a reasonable possibility that that might happen. On top of all of that, I don't really want to talk today, Sean, about details of the deal or whatnot too in depth, because
we don't know all of them yet.
Exactly, and I don't even think the PGA Tour nor the, what is it called? I wrote it down here. The PIF, Public Investment Fund. I put the SPIF, the SPIF, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, in case they wanted to rename it. I'll take a couple million in naming rights for that.
They'll hand it out.
That's pocket
it's nothing
change
to them.
For them.
That's ashtray money. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't really want to go too in-depth into the details, just because the reason why I think this came out was because they had been talking about this for a few weeks, and then I think they got too many people involved and they were concerned about a leak, so they wanted to beat whoever was going to leak it to the punch.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, to me, it's too easy to see through Monahan and all the bullshit that he says. This is something that was obviously in the works, mm-hmm. but it's all for money. You follow the money. There's no other further. There's no real like deep depth to this other than the PGA followed the money, and they're going to be making a shit ton from this.
Absolutely. So there's a few things here. First of all, I just want to say for those listening who don't pay as much attention to golf, essentially, everybody's saying it's not a merger, but the LIV Golf Tour, which parent company is the SPIF, I'm going to call it the Saudi Public Investment Fund, has combined forces and done basically a strategic alliance with the PGA Tour and DP World Tour, who were already in a strategic alliance. Maybe the LPGA Tour falls in there somewhere. As of now, no, but they are already sponsored by the SPIF. As well as their main company, which is Ademco, which has to do with oil, clearly, which is where they get all their base money from. Again, they're saying it's not a merger. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm pretty much leaving it at that, Sean, if that's okay with you, just because I don't know any details, and neither does anybody else aside from that.
Yeah, more than fine with it. I mean, we have to talk about as much as we know, and speculation sometimes gets folks in trouble, and eventually all of the information that we need and that everybody else wants to get will come out, and
it's going to be interesting.
We'll attack that when all of that is made public.
Yeah, and Netflix has got to be jumping for joy, because Full Swing is going to go gangbusters. Every single person that has a computer might subscribe
to Netflix. They were recording when the players found out. Came down.
Yes. Yeah. So let's talk about some things that we do know here. Let's go over a timeline. I just want to give people a little bit of context here. I actually took some notes just so I could keep my mind kind of – there was just so much going on that I wanted to be able to try and lock into a few things at a time here. So I think there was talks of this pre-COVID 2019 through early 2020 of – not only the Saudi government trying to fund a golf league, but you had the investment hedge fund guys trying to start their own league, the TGL or whatever it's called, or the PGL, I'm sorry, Professional Golf League and whatnot. And basically the Saudis just kind of stole that idea from them, beat them to the punch. But nonetheless, the point is that there was rumblings of this happening, and it was getting pretty serious. And the disappointing, and we know going on from there, right, after the rumblings, what happened pretty much 12 months ago at this time when LIV took off at the RBC, you had Rory make the statement and whatnot. He goes out and wins it. By the way, everybody's shitting on Rory. I don't know what it's for. I mean, I don't think he seems that difficult, but I don't know him. And then, you know, you had the first season of LIV. You had the second season of LIV, and you had a LIV player win a major after finishing second, with Phil finishing second, making a little bit of noise and getting LIV back into the news cycle. And then you have, what was it, Tuesday that this news came down?
Yep.
Where the PGA Tour and the Saudi whatever, the Saudi fund decide to link up. Sean, how you feeling? I have some educated guesses as to why this happened.
I think that we were kind of heading this way anyway.
Oh, yeah. I've said it on the pod before. I thought it was going to be like 4 years from now. I didn't think it was going to be now.
Well, I think the successes of the players in LIV have expedited this process a little bit.
I'll be honest. I don't think that has shit to do with it.
Well, I mean, here's my – okay, well, that's fine. You asked my thought. I think that has a little bit, because I think the hope from the PGA was these guys are going to play, and basically we'll just call it a minor leagues, and they're going to have their little league over there, and they'll come back and play in the majors. And they've been really, really good in the majors that they've played with Mickelson and obviously Brooks. I think the next part, too, is that obviously there's a lot of legalities going on, and a lot of money being spent, and the PGA doesn't have the wherewithal or the funds to match the Saudi government money at all. Mm-hmm. So this has to go along with money. The next point, too, is that the PGA Tour is a little bit at a crossroads. We've seen it already with the announcement that earlier this year of the elevated events, and these players are playing a lot as the LIV players are not having to play nearly as strenuous of a schedule. And there's just been this combative back and forth. And I think at the end of the day, my stance has never changed. The Saudi government never got into this to win over fans for golf. It's sports washing at its true essence, right? Yep. That's why they did it. Can we buy out some of the best players? Yeah, they got some older players. They got some young players who we were hoping to see on tour, but they also got a couple of big time names.
Superstars.
So from that vantage point alone, you're sapping a little bit of the product that the PGA Tour has on a weekly basis. So from all of that, it was in the PGA's best interest to get those players back in some capacity.
Well, but we'll see.
We'll see, right? But all signs that I've listened to kind of point to that direction, you know, coming to the fruition. But ultimately, man, I think the PGA is just saying this is the best business move right now, and let's do it.
The only reason why I pushed back on that was because I don't think it has anything to do with player success. And my reason is because I said this when Brooks won the major. I said this when Phil and Brooks finished in the top five. And Patrick Reed played well on top of that in the Masters. It had nothing to do with LIV. Like, LIV, the product still sucked. Yes, okay. Were their players very good golfers? Yes, absolutely. But I don't think you could take a victory lap on that because LIV, the product, still sucked ass and their ratings were terrible. And for me, I just think I want to separate those two just because...
Can I just respond to that real fast?
Sure.
I wasn't saying about that LIV is going to gain popularity because these players are playing well. It's that the PGA, who's had these players, now will not, you know, we have to wait for majors to see these guys again, and it's diluting the product.
That's a good point. I agree with that, but I think the two things that were the main driving forces for this were, on the PGA Tour side, although they were winning, and I think ultimately you and I and everyone else that is in this field at all can agree, eventually the PGA Tour was going to win. The Saudi SGL was going to, or whatever, the PIF and whatever you want to call it, was going to lose interest and move on to the next thing. Maybe it's cricket, maybe it's tennis, who the fuck knows?
Well, they're already very heavily involved in soccer. I mean, in European soccer, they have their hands in that,
yeah,
a lot.
But my point is,
they're going to expand.
My point is that at some point, the Saudi Golf League was just, LIV was going to cease to exist and the players were going to come back. But the other point is that, one, the PGA Tour was not going, there was so much litigation going on. The PGA Tour was going to get bled dry in court. And their job as the PGA Tour is to give the players, funnel the players the majority of that money. And they're spending tons of money fighting that in court. On top of that, the Saudis were relentless. Whether LIV worked or not, they were going to find their way into the golf world, period, because they have more money than God, and it's not their money, so they can just throw it at the wall, right? And on the other side, the thing that I think really catapulted this and got them talking, and I did some research on this as well as listened to the No Laying Up podcast, and they had an actual lawyer on who was explaining it. I think the real reason why this happened when it did was the PIF, the SPIF in my book, actually approached the PGA Tour on this one because it was getting to the point in litigation where during depositions they were going to have to, first of all, talk under oath. I don't know if that matters to them. That's another interesting thing I have to ask is, if you're, Sean, if you get arrested for a crime in another country that you don't give a fuck about, if you get away with it, I'm going to lie under oath. I don't care. It's not my country. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, man, I mean, I don't know the legalese of all of that.
That's neither here nor there. Obviously, they were going to have to play nice if they were going to try and deal with the PGA, which is a corporate entity in the United States of America. Also, they were going to have to bring out all of the messages, paperwork, all that stuff, and the numbers onto how they were recruiting these players, which, and how they were paying them and all that stuff. And I don't think they want that to come out. On top of that, the lawyer also basically hinted that they were going to have to open up the books to other things outside of LIV Golf and their golf interests, and they definitely do not want to be exposed with their other investments as well. So I think that it was getting to that point in the legal process, and that's why this went down, and the SGL or whatever, fucking the PIF, whatever you want to call it, basically pushed for this deal because they did not want to get exposed, and the PGA Tour at this point was happy to oblige. And essentially, I don't think the decision was even made by Jay Monahan. I think it was made by the other two gentlemen involved. I think Jay Monahan is Roger Goodell at this point right now. He speaks for the owners, and he's just going to go out there and be a puppet to take bullets until he can't anymore, and then they'll put somebody new in place, a fresh body, essentially, to take all those public bullets. Was that well put? Did I do okay?
Yeah, very, very well put, because that's what he's going through right now, and he admitted to it as such during his press conferences yesterday, and saying that, listen, I understand the outrage. I definitely understand the questions. I think he buried himself when he referenced a year ago the 9/11 families, and to me that was just something that you never had to open that can.
No, and there's that's just a door that once you open it, you can't close it. You have to stick to your guns on that, or else he's going to be fired. I don't know when.
Oh, he's gone. But I think he knows he's gone.
Yeah, and he's just laying on the sword because I think when he is gone, he's going to get a golden parachute, as they say. And he's going to get a fat stack. So that's why he's playing nice and behaving. Who knows? Maybe the book will come out in 25 years and all the skeletons will come out. But, I mean, when you bring up 9/11, like, when you bring up situations like that, you know, that's, you might as well bring up, you know, the Holocaust or something like that. Like, that's, it's on that level. There's no back.
Did you hear or read what Jimmy Dunn talked about today?
No, what did he say?
So his firm was in the World Trade Center, and he.
Well, he's the one who spearheaded this decision, in my opinion.
Well, and yeah, and he had made his statement public today, saying, you know, he doesn't believe that the people he's doing business with in the Saudi government were the same people that were involved in the Twin Towers. And
yeah, well, my response to that is shut the fuck up. You know.
Yeah, but
they also beheaded a journalist quite recently.
I get that, man.
And they
cut
off people's hands when they steal, and they don't let people be gay, and they don't let women walk the streets.
There's a lot of hypocrisy, okay, that we can talk about, but at the end of the day, like, I feel like he is in a very good position of any public person in this whole process to talk about how he feels, because he was directly impacted. He lost colleagues, coworkers, employees in the attacks. So he was directly impacted by it. So I'm going to just let that be there, because everybody, I think it's very convenient for all of us to be up on our moral high ground about doing business with the Saudis. And obviously we don't condone it. We don't agree with it. We looked at it as blood money. A lot of people do. That's why I didn't think that Monahan ever should have opened his trap about the stupid going on about the 9/11 families, because that was a political football that you used at a convenient time, knowing that eventually you would have to walk that back, and now he looks like a jackass.
100%. And I think, honestly, let's look at it like this. Grand scheme of things, is it what's best for the league? Rory said it pretty well in his press conference. They're going to get into golf whether it's with us or without us, so we might as well take the money and make it worth our while. I understand that. And I think ultimately the right decision was made when it comes to the game of golf. I don't want to hear grow the game, but when it comes to the influx
of
cash and whatnot.
That's such a load of bullshit, well, why you and I were just screaming about it every single time Greg
Norman or Bill
opened their traps.
That's another thing. Aside from the 9/11 thing, that's hilarious. It's because he said, oh, nobody's growing. And then and now he's towing the company line as well. It's like, Jesus Christ, is this what money does to people? I mean, it's sickening, but at the end of the day, I do think he did what was best for the league now. It's just the fact that I think he needs to be fired for all of the mistakes he made between 2019, when these things were being whispered around, and now. That being, he ignored all the signs and all of the meetings between when it first started and up until basically 2 weeks ago. and he let this happen in the first place. He let the league actually take place. On top of that, obviously, the 9/11 blunder is not good. And then also, I mean, I think he needs to be fired on top of that, just because I don't think if you're a Rory or you're a Max Homa or you're Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, you name any of the top players in golf that decided to stick around, how the hell can you trust this guy? I mean, seriously.
No, you can't. And when they're finding out in real time, I understand that there was the leak and they had to come out, or a potential leak, and he had to come out and do it. And I understand he probably, because nothing
gotten was set to that stone. Point, though, dude.
It should, yeah, but dude, there's, you know, still not a lot set in stone. But he still, this is why it was so bad, is I get from the standpoint that he couldn't tell the players because nothing was done yet, but still not everything is done yet. And the players had to find out in real time. On
I agree.
CNBC.
This whole thing was sloppy, but I don't even think that's Monahan's mistake. Monahan's mistake was his arrogance and ignorance on letting this league branch off, and not because, you know what, he could have squashed this if he took hedge fund money, because there was hedge fund money out there for the PGL. They were the ones who originally started this idea, and had he said, you know what, that's interesting, let's talk about this thing, and they actually started a PGL, this never would have happened, because there would have been, the Saudis would have been outbid and outmanned.
But this is when you, this is what happens and is a direct reflection of when you have just
a monopoly and somebody rests on their laurels. That's
well,
what
I wasn't
happens.
Even going to go that direction. I was going to say, this is what happens when you have no, you only are short-sighted and you have no plans to even engage in what big picture things could be happening. We saw this across the NCAA, right? Forever, they tried to continue to force these kids to basically be indentured servants playing and making the NCAA hand over fist in the commissioners and the TV companies and everything like that. And then NIL comes up out of nowhere because, of course, they weren't going to be able to keep that bottled up forever. And now it's gone completely into the wild, wild west where nobody knows what's going on. It's what's happened in baseball with the cheating, and you get the Astros situation, because Manfred was just so completely tone deaf to all the advantages that teams were trying to garner with technology. And now all of a sudden he's had to change the whole sport, basically, because he was so against any kind of progress. This yep. is what Jay Monahan did. He was not forward-thinking enough. He was not allowing himself to talk to the right kind of people who were seeing the direction the game was going, overseeing what potential possible other leagues were going to come about. And now he just looks like a complete idiot because, again, he was so steadfast in his beliefs and what he wanted to do and say to save a little bit of public eye. And now what happened? Everybody who cheered him for saying what he did about the 9/11 families are now throwing shit at him, and rightfully so.
Yep. No, you can't play that card all willy-nilly. You got to be serious about that. And I'm a firm believer that that you have peacetime leaders and you have wartime leaders, and he is not a man for adversity.
No, he's not. And again, this is what happens. You need leadership in times.
I think you're starting to see that with
your sports,
some
kind
other
of
commissioners.
Crossroads. Your Adam organization's Silver. At a crossroads.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And listen, I think if and when this does go through, because I think in some form it will, who knows? I think we're just at the beginning, and there's probably 75% of the road left to go here, maybe more. I think that the top 30 players will get taken care of, and eventually golf gets into a better place. They're already talking about doing whatever their version of Live Golf, meaning a team golf sport, in the fall. Sean, had they consulted me about a year ago, maybe we wouldn't be having this issue. I don't know.
No, you, when you came on the pod last fall and outlined your entire plan, that should have been scripture to Jay Monahan.
And guess what they're doing now? Now that the whatever it's called, Tiger and Rory and whatever's league, now they have an ownership group, the first one, the LA group. My fucking idea. I want my checks, bro.
You should be getting them. The royalties should be coming your way. I mean, listen, Rory said in his presser, you know, he has to put his feelings aside to understand that this is going to be advantageous for the game of golf in the next 10, 20 years and going forward. And the amount of money that's going to be had now is just so much more than they've had. It's obviously going to allow to pay the players more. You're going to have spot. You're going to have everything. And now, most importantly, you have government-backed money, which is endless.
At the end of the day, sponsors.
There's probably going to be a tournament held over in Saudi Arabia. It's like,
There already was. I mean, you had the race to whatever it's called, and the Dubai whatever event that was, that some of the DP World Tour and some of the Patrick Reed and a few others have played in. Rory's played in it. I mean, listen, I think it was inevitable. I think at the end of the day, this is a fucking the worst road to ever get to here, but I think we were going to get here regardless. Just kind of wasted 2 years of our lives here. I will say the one thing I'm excited for, because again, it's kind of like football. What are you not going to watch? You're not going to watch because of the concussions. You're not going to watch because somebody's not kneeling for the net and not standing for the national anthem, whatever. Kind of the same thing for me. I'm still going to watch. I'm just happy to have at some point all my guys back together. Brooksy's back.
Yeah. This is going to be good for the game of golf and for people who love the game of golf. I am just so sick and tired of listening to people pontificate about their moral high ground that they stand on when they are not being offered tens and hundreds of millions of dollars to make these decisions.
Couldn't agree more. Because I'm telling you what, putting myself in their shoes, it would be a tough decision for me sitting right here right now to not take even $5 million from these people. If they were hey, do you guys want to do a live exclusive podcast? We'll pay you $5 million. Sean, you know you and I are taking that money right now.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And again, you and I would also be intelligent enough to say to people, like, yeah, we took the money because we've been doing this podcast for 5 years trying to get it off the ground, and Liv really liked what they heard, and they want to hear us do it. And it's like, okay, great. Like, we took the money. All right. Like, do we condone everything? No. But that you just get into it with businesses. I mean, there's Adam Schefter reported that the Saudis are interested in, you know, possibly buying an NFL franchise. Like, yeah. I don't think that's completely out of the realm of possibility in the next 5 to 10 years that you're going to have that. Like I mentioned, over in Europe with all the soccer clubs in the Premier League and all these other leagues.
I mean,
they have their hands in there too.
Sean, at the end of the day, everybody's a hypocrite. Do you know how much business the United States government does with the Saudi government? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's an insane amount. And again, exactly. Because they have a lot of what we want, and it's a very convenient thing to say, I hate every player that went to Live, and I'm only going to back Rory. Listen, I feel bad for Rory personally. He carried the water of Monahan for a year.
Rory better be getting
conferences.
I don't care if they
taken care of.
I don't care if they give it to him. I don't care if they pay him in land. I don't care if they pay him in Bitcoin. However you can get around it, you better be paying him half a billy. Just for whatever.
And Monahan said as much that the guys that stuck around will be taken care of. We'll see what that
happened to see Bryson's interview, by the way.
I didn't watch it. I saw he was on CNN. And I
listened to it, and it was, again, another reason why I should be Bryson's PR caddy.
Well, he's an idiot.
I mean, he apologized for 9/11, so that was an American apologizing for 9/11 is pretty grim, especially because he was probably in grade school when it happened. I don't know. Neither here nor there. I respect the guy for putting himself out there, but he's got to surround himself with some smarter people. But more news to come. We should be talking about my boy Ludwig having an incredible day today, T3, but we're not because we have this bullshit.
It's a seismic event. I mean, and in any merger, I mean, whether you want to call it a merger or not, there is a partnership that's now born.
And honestly, dude, this league is unlike anything we've ever seen before to compete with sports. Because you can say like, oh, the AFL and ABA or the XFL or whatever. But like the difference between that and this league is that all those leagues were just broke and they basically started to get acquired. This fucking Live Golf has an unlimited runway of money.
Well, The AFL was not. The ABA was. But even with the merger, it was in some of the best interest of the traditional leagues to adopt some new rules. I mean, the NBA took on some failing and flailing ABA teams. But you know what? They brought in the three-point line. They changed the game a little bit. They allowed dunking back into the game, which was not allowed. Then you had, obviously, in the AFL and NFL, you had a lot of very talented players, some great teams. You wanted to acquire them. It was in the best interest the way that some of those teams were playing the game of football for the NFL to integrate them. I don't know how much of the live, if any part of that game, is going to be part of this new league in any way, shape, or form with certain events or whatnot, but I don't know. I think that this was just a perfect opportunity for the PGA to say, we cannot continue to hemorrhage money in court. And like you said, with the Saudis, they could not have all of that documentation out there and the books opened up about what they have their dirty, blood-ridden paws into.
I'm curious
into.
Where this leaves
Phil. Let's just go. Huh?
I said I'm very curious where this leaves Phil Mickelson.
I mean, let me ask you. I've heard both sides. Does he look like a winner or a loser after all this?
I think on the outside, he's going to take a victory lap, and he looks like somewhat of a winner. But I just – he tarnishes legacy. It's like in the short term, I think he's a winner. In the long term, I think he's a loser.
Unless he's really, really happy with that villain role, which we spoke about the other day.
I mean, maybe he should talk to A-Rod. Truly.
Figure out a way to come back. Yeah, but I don't know if he cares. This might just be a situation for him, man, where he's made so much money and everything he said has kind of been spot on, where he's just going to fall away and, you know, ride off into the sunset and only play majors now.
I'll tell you what, dude. Next week, I can't help but root for him to win the PGA, to win the U.S. Open. That would be incredible.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to feel that way.
Yep. I don't know. He's not going to be in my foursome, I don't think, but I am going to be rooting for him.
All right, man. Well, this was going to be, and I think it's safe to say, you're going to remember where you were when you heard this news.
Yeah, that was crazy. I think you might have been able to break the news to me. And I was like, what the fuck? Did this guy get duped again by a blue check?
No, and I checked myself too, because I was all over the place, and I was like, no, this was not just one article. This was all over. And then once the very verified account started breaking it, and then, you know, I saw the Twitter post of CNBC, and I was like, oh shit, he's talking about this. Yep, this is happening.
Yeah, once Monahan went on television, I was like, okay.
Yep.
Yep, and then we just kind of had to get our ducks in a row and get our facts straight, because I'm not just going to talk about it willy-nilly.
Listen, man, there's people who are so into the game of golf that we reference on this podcast. Let them do it. You know, they have the contacts. They have the people on the ground that they can talk to. We don't have that access, not yet anyway. So let's make sure we listen to as much as we can, read as much as we can, and we'll make our stances known based off of that. And again, you've said it perfectly, folks. This is just the beginning of this. We're at the tip of the iceberg as far as what is going to come out and what we're going to learn in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, and one more thing. Another thing that nobody's saying that I think will come out eventually is I think that guys like DJ, Brooks, Bryson, and especially, Brooks and Cam Smith especially, but those other two, they definitely went to the higher ups and said, yo, can we figure something the fuck out? Like, I balled out, and Brooks' case, I actually won a major. I want to get back to the big stage. I'm tired of this bullshit. I want you guys to fucking figure something out.
It's entirely possible. I mean, those guys hold a lot in terms of gravity towards both leagues, right? So,
absolutely. And they probably were like, all right, between the fact that we're going to have to expose a ton of shit in court that we don't want to expose, and the fact that our players, as much as we have them under contract, are unhappy, let's make a phone call. And
it was advantageous for both sides, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I don't think it was the wrong move for the people. I think at the end of the day, Jay Monahan, his hopefully final major decision as PGA Tour commissioner, was the right one. It's just, between basically 2019 and now, every single decision he's made has been the wrong one. And they all were, by the way, him trying to get everybody to stick around. Had he stuck to his guns, would have been the right decision. It's just now that he made this decision, it kind of nixed everything else he did. His fatal flaw was the fact that he was not forward-thinking and he was arrogant and a fucking idiot. And if you're not going to adapt to change, that's a bad leader, and that's why you're in the position you're in right now where you're taking Saudi money. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, the optics look far worse because of what he's done in the last 4 or 5 years, as opposed to what this decision actually means for the game going forward and for the tour going forward. Both 100%. Things can be true.
I am very thankful that we only covered like 1.5 of those tournaments. I definitely don't need to see a DJ on the course anymore. I would like to see DJ on the course at some point.
There you go.
But I don't need to see that. And I don't need to see these hitting giggles anymore. I'll play in a hitting giggle.
Are you done seeing
their
hairy legs with those shorts?
I don't give a fuck about that.
I don't give a fuck about that either. But the PGA.
That's something for our grandpas to worry about. Not that. Exactly. All right, you ready to talk basketball?
Yeah, man. We did have a game 3 last night amidst all of this.
We did, and we had to watch it. I watched it wire to wire. Pretty much. I hate to, you know, have another victory lap here, but it was kind of exactly how I said it was going to go.
Yeah, you were right on it. You had no issues there whatsoever.
Shout out. I have to say this. Shout out to Mike Malone. Two major adjustments that I saw in this game. First of all, he got his guys moving defensively, right? That was the first thing. Not a lot of made threes from the Heat here. Not a lot of open shots from the Heat. They were much more aggressive defensively in the Nuggets. And number two, he did not stick too long with Michael Porter Jr. He saw that the guy didn't have it in the first half, and I don't think you saw him at all, really, for the second half. He went to the guy out of Kansas, Brown, who, listen, did he brick a three off the side of the backboard? Yeah, but he didn't keep taking them. He was cutting hard, getting offensive rebounds, getting steals, the type of energy that they needed, and he was a major key into them winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, his activity, his not settling for jumpers that probably were low percentage shots, his ability to just create winning plays was really important. And I give him a lot of credit, too, because he was a DNP in the final game of the Western Conference Finals. And I think this just goes to show that Malone does have his fingers on the pulse of his team. He's not here to save anybody's feelings or worry about what they're going to say, because the only acceptable answer in that locker room can be, I don't care what you do as long as we win. And if Michael Porter Jr. was unhappy with everything aside from the fact that he was just down on himself for not playing well, then that tells you everything you need to know about his character. But this is a well-rounded team. They know their roles. One night it's going to be one guy. One night it's going to be the other. And real credit to Malone. I love how he was mic'd up there in the fourth and saying, we've lost the fourth quarter in the last two games. We are not losing the fourth quarter today. We're going to win this game. And it just put a lot of confidence into that team. The last thing I'll say is Jokic, I mean, he's just going to fucking ruin every chance you have in an extended run, because he's going to have his hands all over every single winning play, whether it's him making a shot, him going to the free throw line, him passing out to find an open shooter. It's really, really hard for teams to go on extended runs because he's just somehow going to just completely screw you.
I got to be honest, outside of LeBron, there's probably no other fan base that I'm envious of having a player, because he just makes the right play every time. I would never have been more confident in a guy to come out and know, all right, we're probably going to win this game because the Joker is going to step up.
He also didn't sit the entire second half. And Malone said, yeah, that might be the case the rest of the series.
Listen, that's fine. He can rest when the season's over and he's got a trophy.
Just an unbelievable stat line.
By the way.
Yep, he was.
Snuck a triple-double in there at the last second.
Yeah, he got the backdoor cover with that late rebound. Hey, you know what? You look at this team, and I give Murray a lot of credit for shaking off the rust of let's just call it what it is, not a great game too.
Mm-hmm. No, no doubt. He wasn't aggressive enough, and Malone called him out for that, and he was plenty aggressive in this game. Just the inside-out game was amazing between the two big players. Aaron Gordon looked really good. Bruce Brown had a few moments, and then obviously we mentioned the other player who looks like his last name's Braun, but it's Brown. I'm not going to have a whole debate about that like they did on the broadcast. I didn't really need that then either. As for the Heat side, outside of Jimmy B and Bam, their players fell back to earth for this game, and they did not shoot it well. Their zone did not work as well in this game. The Nuggets picked it apart, and I got to give Mike Malone a shit ton of credit. I mean, he's won Coach of the Year before, and I know Spo's going to overshadow him just because of his pedigree, but he's got to be ranked top five coaches in the league.
Well, now when the pressure's the highest, I like to see how coaches. I was talking with my coworker yesterday. He's like, "How do you judge a good coach?" And I say, "Well, to me is does he always have his players ready to go? Does he connect with his personnel, particularly in a pro sport?" Yes, I think he does. He obviously knew the message he was going to take was going to be a little bit controversial, but I think he knew his players could handle it. And then adjustments, not only in-game adjustments. So you're, obviously managing timeouts. You're making adjustments from quarter to quarter, half to half, but game-to-game adjustments, and he did that. And you could tell right off the bat they were much more aggressive on their closeouts. They weren't nearly as reckless. They weren't nearly as lazy. Miami was not really able to create a lot of those kind of shots that they created in games one and two. And then the zone, it didn't work as well for Miami because, you know what, a lot of those players were much more capable of knocking down their shots this time around as opposed to game two when they were ice cold.
I don't have to say anything else. You want to talk about game four?
Yeah, tomorrow night, man. So how do you see this game going? Is it a repeat?
Let's see the spread. How do you think it's going to go as I look up the spread here?
I like Miami in this game. I like them to win a barn burner. I think it's going to be something like 101-99 or something.
Okay. 101-99 Heat you have?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to pull up the Action Network. Just stick with the vibe because that's what we've been going with. Okay, you said, what did you say? 101.99, so you're going to handicap the Heat minus what? Or what do you think the spread is? How about that?
I'll say Heat plus 2.5.
Heater plus 3. Good one by you. Good call.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to go with the Nuggets here. I think the Nuggets are going to win another game.
Well, you held on to them in five, right? So you can't really get off of that now. You're still alive in that prediction.
No, I am still alive in that prediction. But again, I want to be right game to game. So I would go off of that prediction if I didn't think it was going to happen. But I do think the Nuggets are going to come out and stifle the Heat again. I think that some of the Heat's bench players lost a little bit of confidence. Clearly, the home court advantage was stolen. And I just think the Nuggets are going to keep it rolling. I think Murray and Jokic are hot as hell, and I think they're going to keep it up. And there's going to be at least one game that Porter shows up for. And I think Coach Malone. I don't know why I can't remember his fucking last name.
You've said it like five times.
Coach Malone is going to give him another chance. And I think he's gonna make at least one of these fucking games count, and he's gonna have like a 25-point explosion, and it might be in this game, which is gonna lock him in more defensively, which is gonna lead the Heat to have less opportunities to score. I'm not gonna guess a score, but I am gonna say that the Nuggets are gonna cover that spread. If you guys bet with me last time, you guys were able to get a nice little plus money alternate spread. I'm saying just take the Nuggets money line in this game, lay the juice, and keep it moving to game five.
If Miami were to win this game, how do they do it?
Miami were to win this game, I think that they just deal with Jokic because you're not going to be able to stop him, and I think that they figure out a way to really stifle Murray, probably try and beat him up a little bit, foul him a shit ton. Lowry is going to make some plays, and then they just get hot from three again. I think if they figure out a way to stop Murray and they get hot from three, that's how they win.
I agree with you. They have to knock down their shots. I mean, just going through this box score here, I mean, you had 28 from Butler, 22 from Bam, but up down the line here, 7 from Vincent, 3 from Strus, 9 for Robinson, 10 for Martin. You got to put out a missing person alert here. I mean, this guy has been non-existent. You talk about Porter. Porter's not as instrumental because there's other pieces that Denver can go to, as we saw case in point yesterday with Christian Brown. If Caleb Martin's not doing anything for Miami, they're kind of fucked. And then you look at Lowry, he only had 9 points. I know that doesn't always tell the full story with Lowry, but I mean, when your supporting cast is giving you that little production.
And how do they shoot from three?
As a team.
31.4%.
Yeah, so that's.
Denver only shot 27%, but they have the Heat. That's a different team. Denver can win a lot of different ways. The Heat got to knock down threes. That's what they did all playoffs. That's the only reason they're here.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail right on the head there, man.
All right, so you got the Heat winning game four. I have the Nuggets continuing their success and winning game four, and then going back to the crib, as the kids say, and winning it on their home court, winning it all. Were you able to listen, I know last night you had to watch the game. That was Wednesday night. Did you watch air on Tuesday night? Anything?
No, Tuesdays I work late.
Okay. I'm sorry for even asking that. I'm so stupid.
And it was also, I was chasing a lot of the golf content this past couple days. I knew we were recording today. So
I tried not to listen until yesterday late and today because I just wanted some of the smoke to settle.
Yeah, sure. And I get that. I think for me is it's just I want to watch the movie. I will watch the movie, unlike other movies that I have passive interest in. I have legitimate interest in this.
Maybe tonight. It's just,
there's so much content. Nah, man, it's an early morning for me tomorrow.
Yankees play tonight. Yankees are playing right now.
Yeah, they lost the first game of their doubleheader, I saw.
They're getting no hit right now. Maybe it's the smog.
I think it's also no Aaron Judge.
That could be it, too.
But I think at the end of the day, man, listen, I'm going to get around to watching it at some point, but the weeknights are not always the easiest for me.
I hear you on that, man. I know you work.
Looking for a full movie. I want to actually like sit down and enjoy it, maybe have a beverage or two.
There you go. I know you work a crazy schedule, so I understand. I'm not gonna penalize you.
Yeah, and again, it's like I want to do it. It's not a homework assignment. Like I want to see it. I'll get around to it.
It's going to be a couple weeks because I know you're not going to watch it this weekend, and then next weekend it's a busy weekend.
Yeah, we got the U.S. Open, baby.
Yes, sir.
All of this shit going on. And also, too, is I've been watching, like, on weekends I used to have a lot more, like, if I was just laying around, like, aside from watching a baseball game, like, I was probably finding a movie or show or at least checking something out. But now you got me dialed in on the golf because I know you're talking.
Well, I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's, you know, it's not a perfect system, and I gotta make sure I'm doing my homework.
That's okay. Sound
like an ignoramus on this pod here, man.
Just like I'm coming back in hot and heavy for college football this year.
Oh, yeah.
Spring ball, baby. Spring ball.
I can't wait for college football. Cannot wait.
I can't.
I know you can't. Well,
golf more than I like college football, but I will suck it up and watch college football.
I do like golf more than you like college football because I find it fascinating for where this sport has been. Over the last couple years.
And did your dad throw you any opinions?
I haven't talked with him about it yet.
No, let's get him on here.
I know that he's been watching a lot of the press conferences, and he doesn't listen to nearly as much content from the podcast universe as we do.
Well, I hope he listens to us.
He does listen to us, and he definitely appreciates the insight that we have. Particularly, he's like, the passion that Tom has about golf, I can do nothing but respect that.
So, oh, well, thanks. I'd love to get out there with him.
Oh, yeah. He would love that, too. Any excuse for him to get out there. I mean, he doesn't need one. So, but, yeah, man, it's definitely – I find it fascinating. I find the entire climate of this sport fascinating. I think that the tour, for somebody that's getting into it, it's probably as awesome and as polarizing and as dramatic as – you could get, so I'm coming in at a great time.
That's
which is
sure.
Why I really want you to enjoy this last season of college football before the expanded playoff, because every game matters, and that's always my selling point, and it sucks when that's going to go away.
Especially because my team's in it this year, baby.
I know, man. Your Trojans. USC Trojans, last year of eligibility before you go over to the SEC with Tennessee.
Hey, keep it on the hush. I don't want them. I don't want to fall down the depth chart of the fans. You know, it's like me and Will Farrell.
Hey, listen. You just enjoy your boy Caleb. You'll be all right.
I saw a video of OJ out and about recently. Interesting stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh? Where was he?
I don't know. He was at some golf course. I saw it on Instagram. I bet you he's a great golfer.
He's probably played thousands of rounds.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna leave that one alone.
Yeah, probably best that you do.
On that note, I guess we'll unless some other league decides to merge or something like that with the Saudi government, we will be back on Monday.
Yeah, we'll be back Monday, and shit, man, maybe we'll hop on the mic Saturday morning after game four tomorrow. We'll see.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yep. So you
won't worry about your. We'll talk about that and see if there's any tea time interference that you might have.
Saturday, no. I have a graduation party. So.
All right. Maybe we get you before that and do a quick game four recap.
Yeah.
See
no.
How right.
How much money do I have to give for a graduation? By the way. I mean, it's a.
Oh, that's
it's
a good
triple,
question.
It's a triple graduation party. So I'm thinking about just going
Who
to the
is
bank.
This?
My three cousins, two of which are basically like my sister and my brother. I mean, I grew up next door to them, eating dinner with them every night for my entire childhood. So they're very close to me, one of which is going to be part of my wedding. So, and I've given him so much fucking shit over the past couple of years since I became an adult. I don't think I owe him a penny, but I'm still probably going to throw him a fucking $100 bill.
Yeah, I think that's nice. You know, the relationship is always... It's tough because I think there's certain events where you can't be a cheapskate. But
no, I'm never a cheapskate. I'll throw them the 300, whatever.
Just,
100
yeah.
each. 100 each.
Right. Yeah. I didn't think you were talking throwing three bills
no,
to each.
No, I'm
of
not
them,
trying to. I'm not trying to stunt on anybody. Fuck that. I need to work for my money, man. I don't have no live contract here.
No, you don't. There is no lucrative deal that you've signed yet. Aside from the promotions that you've got.
But, keyword yet.
Yet. I know. I know what I said. but yeah, I think that that's more than enough. And again, if you've been good to him, you know, I think your presence alone is good. And you throw him $100 and you call it a day.
Yes, sir. And a big Can Jam tournament. I'm fucking coming this weekend.
Is that your yard game of choice?
That's our we used to be wiffle ball, but that got heated. So we do Can Jam tournaments now. You pick from a hat, everybody gets partnered up. There's usually like 10-20 teams. It's usually College World Series style, a double elimination. So we'll see how it goes. Will Smith likes to throw a knuckleball frisbee, believe it or not, sometimes. But it's like sometimes he's right on the can and it just kind of flutters right at the can, and then sometimes it's just way off. So we'll see how he's playing on Saturday.
You ever play Polish horseshoes?
No, what is that?
That's
I've
where
heard
you have
of
the
it.
Beer. That's where you have the beer bottle on the top, and you got to
hit
it.
Oh yes, I played that at the beach once.
Yeah, that's a fun game. Cornhole's my game. That's
cornhole's fun. I think Can Jam is a more fun cornhole in my opinion. Cornhole can get boring to me. Spike ball is a lot of fun, but we got some older people playing Can Jam, and that's like a hip surgery waiting to happen. So we're definitely.
Oh
not
yeah,
playing
you got to be careful. You don't want to have any legitimate injuries. You can't be taking any elder relative to the hospital for a hip issue. So
no, not at all. So that's what I'll be doing this weekend, and maybe I'll be talking to you.
I like it. I think that would be a very well-rounded weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, I think we did it today. We covered our bases the best we could. Tom, thanks for breaking everything down as only you could with the PGA and this whole merger, who the hell knows.
Yeah,
and
pending.
We'll see if Miami can extend this at least to a given and guaranteed game six tomorrow.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Well, everybody, enjoy the night.
Take care, everybody.